The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you know what the saving message of Jesus is? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we are in a series called His Unseen Hand, which is based on Dr. Bob Wilkins' autobiography. Today, we're going to discuss a little bit of history behind the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're going to talk about the saving message. So it should be an interesting discussion. Speaking of which, let's get right to it with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show where we're discussing His Unseen Hand, the tentative title of Bob's autobiography. In the last episode, we were talking about the events of 2006, where a disagreement arose or became evident in GES circles at that time.
Right.
Everyone agreed in internal security, but Bob Ryan and Zane Hodges had argued that believing in that is necessary to be saved at all. And other people thought that, you know, you didn't need to believe it to be saved, but you should believe it as a discipleship truth later on.
Right.
And I was wondering, it just made me think about, how did that affect how you saw your Christian walk, your walk with the Lord? Because you had talked about being in this work salvation cult, and then Warren Wilkie kind of brought home the Ephesians 2:8 and 9 message to you. When did you become born again? You said it that, but did you understand when Warren Wilkie was evangelizing you that the only way to be saved is by believing in eternally secure salvation or what?
Yeah, I did. I think I mentioned before that when I was 16, one of the hundreds of times I invited Jesus into my heart, I felt something.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe I was born again then. But the reason I went to Warren Wilkie in the first place is because I didn't have any assurance. I wasn't certain. When he shared this with me, finally it dawned on me, this is the saving message, that if we believe in him, then we're saved once and for all, and it's a free gift, it's not of works.
Yeah.
And so what I had believed when I was 16 is not that it was a free gift, and I did believe it was of works.
Sure.
And so I gave my testimony, you know, when you're on a student involved with Campus Crusade for Christ that teach you how to give your testimony.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go, I was giving my testimony that I grew up in this holiness group and I believed in working your way to heaven.
Yeah.
But I didn't have assurance. And then I contacted Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yeah.
And I heard, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast.
Yeah.
And I believed it, and I was born again.
Well, it sounds like you understood that it was by faith apart from works for the first time.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of what Bob Ryan and Zane taught, understanding it's by faith apart from works is part of it. But it's knowing that your salvation can never be lost and believing that that's true.
Yeah, that's a good question. Of course, properly understood, by grace you have been saved. It's a perfect tense, which means something which happened in the past and has an abiding result. And the abiding result isn't going to end ever. But did I understand all of that at that moment? I don't recall, but I remember being in Bible studies shortly after that in which we did talk about eternal security.
Yeah.
And which I was clear on it, and I don't recall that that was new to me.
Okay.
Seems like that was one of the things. See, this went five different meetings with Warren, and it seemed like on multiple occasions he shared that once you're saved, you're always saved.
Yeah.
I believe that was the case, and certainly that was the case within a few days or weeks. And by the way, I recommend to people, if your testimony is that at such and such a time, I prayed this prayer, I walked this aisle, I felt this feeling, but I didn't know where I was going when I died, or I hoped I was going to heaven, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, I heard that if I just believe in Jesus, then I'm secure forever. And that's when I got assurance, but I was born again back here. I urge them, change your testimony. Your testimony needs to link up with Scripture. So tell people, look, I was a religious person and I had prayed this prayer, I had walked the aisle, I had invited Jesus in my heart, but it wasn't until I believed in him for the gift of everlasting life that I was born again. That was my experience, and really it doesn't matter to me whether this was September or October of 1972. Mm-hmm. It's funny because at the time it happened, I thought initially I was thinking this is assurance, and that I wasn't thinking, okay, you have to believe all of this in order to be born
okay,
again.
Okay, so that's what I was asking. Like, were you thinking, I finally become a born-again Christian, or did you think, I've gained assurance? Was it more an FGA view or more of a GES view at that time?
It's funny because I remember I contacted a gal that I worked with the previous summer. She and her husband actually drove to Irvine from Pasadena, about an hour drive, to talk with me. And as I recall, I told them I had become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I just shared with you that it was, this is how I'm gaining assurance.
Yeah.
I think it's quite probable that from the very beginning I recognized that assurance was of the essence. But if I didn't, that was certainly the case within the first month. In any regard, yeah, which way was I at that moment?
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
But
I don't look back and go, you know what? If that's what I believe then, that must be true. No.
Yeah.
What I would say is, what's true is what the Scriptures teach, and it's clear the Scriptures teach that we believe in him for everlasting life, John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:16. And whenever I believe that, that's when I was born again, not before.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people interpret the Scriptures in light of their testimony or their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
We should do it the other way around. We should evaluate our experience in light of Scripture, don't you think?
I was reading a book on Quaker pastors just this last week. I think it's called The Same But Different, but I forget the name of the author. And one of the points he makes is that one of the differences that Quaker pastors have towards evangelism is that they don't assume that God has had nothing to do with a person until the Quaker pastors approach them.
That is such a great point.
And he says, instead, you should assume that this person, that God has been wooing this person, drawing this person, and they've probably had multiple spiritual experiences that you can use as a jumping off point for evangelism. And as I read that, I was thinking about us and this very issue, because a lot of people will say, well, I had this spiritual experience, therefore I was born again. And even this Quaker pastor would say, no, that just means that God has been drawing you.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I was talking to a friend on the phone today. He and I have a mutual friend that went to Dallas Seminary. I heard him share his testimony years ago, and he said he was born again. He was one of the guys at the 2006 conference that believed you didn't have to believe that your salvation was irrevocable.
Right.
And he said that 5 years before he believed he had an irrevocable salvation,
yeah,
he was born again. And when I asked him how he knew that, he told me it was because his life changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He stopped cussing and he had a great love for the Bible. My response to the friend I was talking to on the phone earlier today is, I said, you know, our mutual friend, it seems to me, was an example of someone that God was working in his life before he was born again.
Yeah.
Just like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10.
Sure.
Was Cornelius just a blank slate, you know, when Peter gets there? No. Cornelius had heard a lot of teaching from the Old Testament, and he was prepared ground.
Sure.
You know, I've had a lot of people say, well, people need to grasp X, Y, and Z in order to believe the promise of eternal life.
Yeah.
And my point is, yeah, that's logically true.
Yeah.
But what I've also found is most people already believe X, Y, and Z. In other words, if you talk to most people in America today, they've already heard that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And most of them, if they're church people, already believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the issue is they don't get that by faith in the one who died on the cross, they have an irrevocable salvation.
Okay, so now this is the other question I was thinking about from the last episode. The way you told it in 2006, the big issue was assurance. But at the same time, about 5 years earlier, Zane had given these messages kind of questioning this very issue about whether or not you need to absolutely believe in the, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus in order to be born again. And he gives this deserted island illustration. Had that become a controversy at that point? And was that part of the 2006 split?
It really wasn't a controversy that was in writing or even speaking. And it really didn't come up so much at the 2006 conference. It really became a controversy in 2008 when a book came out called The Gospel of the Christ. That 800-page book called Our View the Crossless Gospel and the Resurrectionless Gospel, etc., that became an issue. But what Hodges said in those two messages was both that hypothetically a person could be born again just by believing what Jesus said in John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Right.
If they knew his name was Jesus and they knew this was the Jesus of Scripture,
yeah,
and they believed what he said, they'd have everlasting life. But then he went on to say, I consider it essential to preach the cross,
right,
because nobody's going to believe that unaided.
Right.
They need more information.
Yeah.
And so the cross is the way they get there. But coming back to your Quaker pastor point,
yeah,
I found that if I come up to most people and say, hey, Jesus died on the cross, they're like, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I'm an idiot? I mean, telling them that Jesus died on the cross is acting like I don't think they know anything.
Yeah.
Or telling them that Jesus rose from the dead is acting like they don't know anything. To me, it's more effective to say, or to even ask, why do you think Jesus died on the cross? Assume they already know that and just ask them.
Yeah.
Or what do you think the benefit of Christ's death on the cross is? What can that do for you?
Yeah.
And get them to talking. And then bring out John 3:16 or Ephesians 2:8 and 9 or whatever and say, the point of the cross is that Jesus has removed the sin barrier so that now we don't have to deal with our own sin to be saved. He's already dealt with it. What we need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved once and for all. Once they get that, they may believe it or not believe it, but at least they understand what you're saying. I find it confusing when people say, well, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again, that's good, but now you need to trust him. It's not enough to believe him. You got to now trust him.
Yeah.
And the way you trust him is you get in the wheelbarrow or you get in the boat. And would you like to trust him now?
Yeah.
If I was an unbeliever, I'd go, wait a minute, I understand what believing is, but how do I get in the boat that is Jesus?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? All right. Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you in the next show.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. In tomorrow's episode, have you ever heard the term a crossless gospel? It should be an interesting discussion. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.